Thank you.
How y'all doing? Wow. I'm going to share a little bit of what I've been going through and share some scripture with you. And grab your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in front. And if you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, and just hang on there, mark it, and we'll get back to it. And I've titled this, Hard Pressed But Not Crushed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather here today, Lord, that we live in this nation where we can freely worship you, learn about you. And Lord, I just want to pray for everybody out there right now in this congregation. Maybe they're going through hardships right now. I pray that you would encourage them, that the words that come out of my mouth would be your words, and that they would edify everybody here today, Father God. We love you, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As Christians, we're called to preach and teach the gospel and share Jesus Christ. And it's real easy to do that when things are going great in our life. When you got money in the bank, you got a full, you know, gas tank, your job is going great, everything's going smooth at home, your relationships are going fantastic, the kids are doing great in school. It's real easy to preach Jesus. It's real easy to be fired up and, yes, praise God, praise God. But what happens when things aren't going so great in your life? What do you do then? Are you still as enthusiastic? Do you still share Christ? And that's what I'm here today. I want to share some things that I've been going through. And not that there's a black cloud over my head and, oh, poor me. That's not what I'm here for. I just want to share some things that I'm going through and that I've been going through. And as Christians, it's not always fun. It's not always going to be roses and candy, and it's tough. It's tough when we serve the Lord. But it's very important that we do that, that we not just be idle Christians. And it's really easy to criticize one another and know this and that, but are we preaching Christ? Well, I'll go back just to October, because I'm not going to go way, way back, because then we'd be here all night. But I just want to go back to October and share some things that I've been going through in my life. And I currently work for the county clerk. I work for the county of El Paso. And back in October of last year, my boss had various opponents running against her. And I wasn't really worried until at the last moment one of her opponents had me worried. And it was a former employee that used to work there. It was her right hand, her chief deputy. And I had worked with this individual for about 3.5 years. I've been at the county for 19 years, and God willing, next year of May, I'll be there 20 years. Well, this individual made it real difficult for me when I worked there because of my faith. Because of a lifestyle she lived, she went out of her way to make it hard on me. And I after a while, I was miserable, you know, and I love going to my job. I love my job. I love my staff that works for me. I have a great crew. But it reached a point where I was questioning, like, should I stay here? It reached a point where I'd go into her office, and if I sat down a certain way, she had this book, something about the FBI and certain body postures or this or that meant you were lying or meant you were, you know, so if I shifted a certain way, she would say, oh, you're lying. And I'd be like, no. Or I reached a point where I'd start perspiring because I was so nervous and, oh, see, you're lying or you're doing this or you're doing that. And I'd be like, no, I'm just nervous. You're freaking me out. So it got pretty bad, you know, and we all have a past. And what I'm talking about, this testimony isn't about talking about how bad I was or this or that. I'm not going to go there. I want to talk about what's going on in my life with Christ. And I did have a past. And she would invite me to drink. You know, she's, come on, let's go party. Let's go drink. Everybody's going to go. And She would say, "Jesus drank wine. Why can't you drink some wine?" You know, and I'd be like, "No, dude, you know, I don't want to do that." And I would kindly decline, but it was constant. And my wife would tell me, go to HR. This isn't right, you know, but I'm in management. So I know at times we do find out certain things that HR, it just leaks out. And I thought, man, if this gets out, she's really going to make it hard on me. So I prayed and I would pray and I would pray. And I would pray, "Lord, show this individual's true character to my boss. Let her see her for what she is." And my wife would always remind me, "Practice what you preach. You always tell people, have faith, you know." So she was telling me, "Have faith and practice what you preach." So it was real hard for me. And with time it happened. You know, she did some stuff and was very disrespectful towards my boss. And she ended up letting her go, which I was like, yes. But no, I'm just kidding. I was like, oh, you know, but, it turned out she was one of her opponents, and she told me, you know, "You realize if I win, you're out of a job." And I was like, "That's cool, you know, whatever God," and it's true, whatever God's will is, that's what it is, you know. But the whole time, I made it a point to campaign even harder for my boss. I said, "Man, I'm really going to get out there," and I'm holding signs and walking house to house and doing all sorts of stuff. And I was worried to sit here and say, "Oh, I was scared." I was, and I did. I do have faith in Christ, but I sought opportunities during those times. I wasn't, "Oh, poor me." And when we all get together at the office to go out and campaign, I would gather them, and I would pray with them, a whole group, even non-believers, and this guy, a Buddhist, and I point to Mark because he works there with me. But it was really cool what God did. I took the time to gather people, pray with them, and share Jesus Christ with them. My boss at the beginning was sort of like this person I was describing earlier. When I first started, she knew my faith. It had already gone out, I guess, and which is cool. And she told me flat out, "I don't want you talking about God. I don't want you praying. And I know you had a Bible study here in the past. You're not going to have it anymore. All that's over." I said, "All right." So I prayed about that. "Lord, soften her heart, open up her mind." And with time, Delia Brijones, who's who I'm talking about, came up to me. And she was going through certain things, and she would say, "What does the Bible say about this? And what does the Bible say about that? And will you pray for me?" And God changed her heart. And it's been amazing what God's done in her life, for she's coming to church here now. She's given her life to the Lord. But God, I was really blessed that God used me as that vessel. So even in the hard times, you got to keep your eyes in Christ and seek those opportunities. There's a door there that the Lord's going to open up for you to preach him. So even in those times, something good came out of it. And at the beginning, I was like, "What the heck did I get into? Why these ladies are so angry?" But God has turned that office around. You know, he really has. Something else, and I'll go through a few of these and we'll share some scripture. In February, my wife, Rosanna, told me she was pregnant. And to be honest with you, I was freaked out. This wasn't planned. And I thought, man, there goes my early retirement, and I also thought, man, I'm going to be one of those grandpa daddies. And no offense to any grandpa daddies out there, I don't mean to, but that's what I thought. You know, I'm thinking, oh man. But it's cool, you know, and a lot of things went through my head, and especially then, because I didn't know if I was going to have a job or not, you know. And really, when that happened, I told my wife, God's not going to let you get pregnant and then take my job away or allow me to lose my job. So I think we're pretty cool. We're pretty safe. But it doesn't end there. I told my wife, I want to be a part of all this, the pregnancy. I want to go. I want to go to the doctors. I want to be a part of all that stuff. So I end up going to the doctor with her. And the doctor asked my wife, you know, "Give me a bit of your history of your past pregnancies." And my wife says, "Well, we have fraternal twins. They're right there. I don't want to embarrass you." That are 14 years old. And so she's giving her the history. And And I start joking. I said, wouldn't it be hilarious, doctor, if you told us we're having twins again? And she says, yeah, that would. And we're all laughing, and her assistant's there, and she's looking at the screen that they have there, and they're doing that thing on my wife, on her belly. And she starts going, one, two. And I start, I thought, you know, even more, I'm laughing. And she again says it, one, two, and she's circling these things. And then she whispers something to the assistant. And I'm thinking, oh, please, you know. And I'm like, good joke. And she says, you guys are having identical twins now. And I thought, whoa. And I'm like, are you serious? And she says, yeah. And I'm like, are you serious? Because I'm still laughing. And she says, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. You're having. So I thought, oh, my goodness. But that's scary, too. And then the doctor told us the chances of that happening are 1 in 10,000. So I told my wife, as soon as we leave here, we're going to go play the lotto and see if we win. But again, we probably would have lost because I was praying to keep my job, and the Lord knows I would have quit if I would have won the lotto. So it's been pretty cool. And like I said, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still scared, you know. And I have a lot of kids, you know, and my wife, I have 6 boys and a daughter now. But it's all good. See, I'm already starting to perspire just thinking about it. Whew. But it's all good, and everything, praise God, my wife's doing great, the babies are doing great, and then I have my 14-year-olds to help with everything. I mentioned that not because it's a bad thing or anything like that. It's just, it is nerve-wracking. It is, at that time, like I said, I didn't know if I was going to have a job. Just a lot of things went through my head. But I still remain positive, and I thank the Lord that my wife is healthy, that the babies are healthy, and we're moving forward. Everything's good, and I have my job so far. On Father's Day, this is another scenario that we went through, and on Father's Day, my wife and the twins, we were at Starbucks just relaxing, drinking some coffee, playing Uno, and I get a call from my sister Annette, my older sister, and she was real calm. And it's rare that she calls me. My sister Arlene and I communicate a lot. And I have 5 sisters. I grew up with 5 sisters, and I'm the only boy. Poor me. But she was real calm, and it was rare. You know, I thought, why, you know, she calling me? But anyways, she says, where are you at? I said, I'm at Starbucks. And she says, you okay? I said, yeah. And she says, I've got something to tell you. So I thought, oh, man, here we go. And she says, Arlene was in a serious motorcycle accident, and we just found out. And we don't know if she's going to make it, my sister Arlene. And she lives in Albuquerque. And I got real quiet. And she says, don't lose it. Don't, you know. So I went outside, and I lost it. She didn't know the details. I didn't know the details. And I was just speechless, you know, and my heart was broken. And my sister is still in the hospital. It's still very serious. I got some news today, too. It wasn't good, but I'm still trusting in God. She's not able to sit. She broke a lot of bones, her pelvic area. She has a lot of infections. She's been lying down since June. She's gone through surgery after surgery after surgery. And her husband was driving the bike. He's okay now. He's going to be released from rehab on Monday, praise God. But my sister's still, it's still a journey, but we're having faith. We have faith in Christ. But even during those times when I've gone to see her, I shared the gospel with her. You know, when we're in a storm, we don't take our eyes off of Christ. And it was really cool. I got to share with my nephews and nieces and my whole family and my brother-in-law's family. So I sought an opportunity to share Christ. And that's another thing. You know, that's the main thing that I want to get through you, to all of you, is no matter what circumstance we're going through, seek opportunities to share Christ. And in doing that, my sister started sharing what I had shared with her with the nurses and the doctors. And it was really cool. But keep her in your prayers when you pray, if you would, please. Her name's Arlene, just for healing. And I had a brother tell me Saturday, she's healed, Tony, and it's just a matter of her, you know, just giving it to God, and she's going through a severe depression right now. And but God is in control, and there's no matter what problem, no matter what situation, God is in control. Remember that, even if you're going through something right now, God is in control. So even then, I prayed, and about 3.5 weeks ago, my mom tells me, I told myself I wasn't going to get emotional. My mom has a heart condition, and about 3 years ago, she had a heavy-duty open-heart surgery twice. And it was like a triple bypass, and they replaced some valves. And even then, I was like, wow. You know, I was freaking out then, too, when I heard about this. And again, I was a mama's boy. I still am. And I grew up with 5 sisters, like I said, and I'm the youngest. And I'm very close to my mom. So 3 years ago, the doctor tells my dad and me, he pulls us to the side and he says, most likely your mom's not going to live, but we're going to go through the surgery anyways. And I got kind of, I wasn't rude or anything, but I said, you know, she's going to be okay. You know, God is the ultimate physician. And when God decides to call her home, he'll call her home. Well, she came out of the surgery and I even told the doctor, I told you. You know, and he was like, you know, and this is a doctor, a surgeon, a heart surgeon. I was like, but he did. God sought my mom through, you know, and but now, like I said, 3.5 weeks ago, she says, I got something to tell you, Tony. And I'm like, oh, man. And she says, I got the echogram back and my heart's failing again. So, and the doctor had told us that too. Really, your mom, if she pulls through, she's really has 3 good years. And it's like he said, it seems like it's happening again. So eventually what they told us is going to happen is my mom's going to drown because the lungs are going to fail because her heart's not working the way it should. But again, we're still trusting in God. And through this process, my mom raised us all Catholic, hardcore Catholic. I was even an altar boy. So it was real hard for my mom when I gave my life to the Lord. It's like I turned my back. So I would try to share with her, and she would always say, no, that's your God, and I have my God, and Saint this, and Saint Anthony, and blah, 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 Saint Anthony. But with time and the situation she was going through, she listened. She opened up. And my mom is still a Catholic, but she knows where her salvation lies, not in saints, not in confession, not in a pope, not in tradition. But if you ask her, she'll tell you, because Jesus died on the cross for me. And I share scripture with her now. It's just amazing what God did through that trial and through that storm. But if I would have started moping and taking my eyes off of the Lord, I wouldn't have had those opportunities to share with my mom. So when God calls her home, I'm at peace. It's going to hurt me, of course, but I'm at peace knowing that my mom's going to go home and I'll be with her one day. But even then, I sought an opportunity to share Christ with my mom, and my dad also accepted the Lord as his Savior. So that was a good thing. And then after that, my older boy, Aaron, was in an accident. He's into cycling, the bicycles. He's always riding. And I was telling the guys on Saturday, he trips me out because he's like a health nut, but he drinks. He's not following the Lord right now. And my wife and I tell him, why do you, you know, soy this? And he goes to, he's it's a trip. But he has to eat certain foods. But then I tell him, but then you drink alcohol? What that kind of defeats the purpose. You know, you're not putting healthy stuff in you. But anyways, he was in a serious bike accident coming down Oregon Street by UTEP. There's a hill, and he lost it because he was drinking. And his face landed on the concrete. He landed face first on a curb. and lost his teeth. I didn't know that night. They called me the next day, and he was at my parents' house. The hospital had released him, so I left work to go check, you know, see if he was okay. And I, again, freaked out when I saw him because, in all seriousness, it looked like he went a few rounds with Mike Tyson. His teeth were gone in the front. He had a huge black eye. He had stitches above his eye. His knee was swollen. He was all banged up, and it just broke my heart, you know. And my son and I don't have a great relationship because he doesn't want to hear about God. And my son wasn't a good dad. I didn't know the Lord when my sons were growing up. They saw a different side of me. So he's real hurt right now. He's still hurt, you know, that, like, he'll say, why couldn't you be the way you are with the twins? The way you are with the twins, why couldn't you be that way with us? And I'll tell him, because I didn't know the Lord. And I'll share with him, but right away he'll shut me up. You know, he'll literally tell me, hey, shut up. I don't want to hear about God. That's your God. I don't want to have anything to do with God. But he knows the Lord. And like I said at the beginning, a lot of you don't know me. Some of you do, some of you don't. I'm an usher here on Sundays. I've been attending this church since 2001, for 13 years now. And then I backslid back when it was at the YMCA by the old Red Lobster. Terry would have service there, and I used to go then. But I really wasn't sure I would go, but my heart really wasn't there. Even though I did want to, but I wasn't into it. So I started taking my older boys, but I still wasn't. My son saw me going to church, but yet he saw me drinking, partying, and I was still very confused. I didn't know what I wanted. And so he has and carries that resentment. So anytime, it got to the point where I have a list, a group of people that I text every morning. It's rare that I miss, and I'll shoot out scripture to certain people. And I had my son on that list, and he told me, you know what, take me off. I don't want to see your scripture. I don't want to know. It was real bad. And well, anyways, that morning when I went to go see him, I kind of broke down, and I was like, Aaron, what are you doing? You know, I said, you're going to end up dying. And he says, I'm really blessed that, he says, God kept me alive. And it was really cool. Because he asked for prayer, and I shared Christ with him, which I hadn't been able to do for years, because he would get really, really angry, really, really angry. So he had to go through what he went through in order for God to reach him, and it's a baby step, you know. But I'll take it, you know. And I'm trying to come on, let's go to church, you know. And he knows Terry. And Terry's spoken to him, and so it'll happen. But the cool thing about that, like I said, he just opened up that day, and I was really blown away. And I told him, man, it's sad that you had to go through this, you know, to in order for me to share Christ with you. But nonetheless, you know, it was awesome. It was really awesome. One more thing, and then I'll shut up. And this one's not that bad, but again, the things I'm talking to you about right now, you might think, Tony, geez, I wish those were my problems. You don't know what I'm going through. But to me, they are big problems. To me, everything that I'm talking to you about has weighed heavy on my heart. Even the pregnancy, you know, financially, it's like my wife has to see two doctors, a specialist, and it gets expensive. You know, everything financially and stuff, it weighs at least heavy on me. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a rich guy. So there's, to me, what I'm talking to you about are big issues for me, including my air conditioner that I'm going to talk about. This is the last thing. I'm showing up after going through all these things. And like I said, I can go on and on and on, but I won't. I'm getting home from work a few weeks ago, and I see water coming down my roof, and I thought, oh, man, you know, what now? So I go up there, and I'm thinking, I'm praying, just please be the hose, or the floater, and I'll call Mark to come help me fix it, and or Charlie, and but I go up there and I'm seeing water coming out of places water shouldn't be coming out of, and there's rust, and I'm thinking, oh man, you know, this, I'm gonna need a new AC, and we don't have the money for that. And so I go downstairs and I'm just lying there and I'm not saying anything, and my wife says, what's wrong? And I tell her, and she's like, oh, it's not a big deal, and no. And I'm thinking, yeah, it is, you know. And so I call my friend. I still had his number. I hadn't spoken to him in a long time, and he's a Christian brother, and he owns his own company that does this stuff. And I call him up, and I said, hey, Brother Joe, I'm hoping you can save my AC. And I didn't tell him what I saw, but I'm like, he says, oh, yeah, brother, yeah, don't worry. I'll be there tomorrow, and we're going to take care of you. And I said, really? He says, yeah, don't worry. So I've had this AC for about 13 years. And, he calls me the next day, and he says, no, brother, I'm not going to be able to save your AC. You're going to need a new one. And he says, it'll be good for the remainder of the summer, but that's it. I'm thinking, oh, man. I said, well, can you hook me up, or can you help me out in some way, you know, at least a good price? And he says, yeah, but we're going to go refrigerated air. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't afford that. Well, anyways, everything worked out good. But God took care of me there as well, you know, and I prayed. We prayed, my wife and I, and help us, and he did, you know. But I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7 through 10. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I want to talk about these words. Hard-pressed is translated afflicted. Every side means inside and outside. Yet Paul was not crushed. A compound Greek word from the words for narrow and space. Perplexed is derived from two Greek words, the word for no plus the word for way. Thus, perplexed means to be at a loss. One is perplexed when one sees no way out. Yet Paul was not in despair, which means utterly at a loss. Verse 9 states Paul was persecuted but not forsaken. At times he could feel the hot breath of the enemy on the back of his neck, yet the Lord never abandoned him to his foes. Struck down but not destroyed means that Paul was many times seriously wounded in action, and this happened in the book of Acts chapter 14 verse 19 in Lystra. A crowd stoned Paul, leaving him for dead, but he was not destroyed. That is killed. The Lord spared his life so that he could continue to preach the good news and testify to God's deliverance. We may wonder why the Lord allowed his servant to go through such testing and trials. We would think that Paul could have served the Lord more efficiently if he allowed his pathway to be free from troubles, but the scripture teaches the very opposite. God, in his marvelous wisdom, sees fit to allow his servants to be touched by sickness, sorrow, affliction, persecution, difficulties, and distress. All are designed to break the earthen pitchers so that the light of the gospel might shine out more clearly. And we're those earthen vessels. And sometimes we need to go through those trials. And we might question it, but God is there for you. God will always be there for you. And there's many times where we put ourselves in those circumstances. But if you're going through a trial right now, everybody has something going on in their lives, whether it be with family members, whether it be through health, whatever the case may be, if you're going through a hardship right now, give it to God and continue to pray. Continue to seek those opportunities to preach Christ. Don't get discouraged. As Terry shared a few weeks ago, the enemy's real. The devil's real. And when we're in the world, he doesn't have to focus on us because he's already got us. If you're in that party lifestyle and you're drinking or doing dope or watching porn, whatever the case may be, you can say, well, I'm not following the devil. But if you're going against what God says, you're not following God either. So who are you following? But the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to go through those hardships. And sometimes that's a good sign. Hey, man, I'm getting attacked. Why am I getting attacked? Well, because you're out there preaching, you're out there teaching, you're out doing this. So what happens when you give your life to the Lord? And I don't want to discourage anybody. If somebody here doesn't know the Lord, you get a big bullseye on your back. Because the enemy says, oh, man, Tony's serving the Lord now. Well, let me distract him. Let me see if I can get him back with me. Let me discourage him. Maybe he'll start drinking again. Let me discourage him. Maybe he'll start doing this. And it's so easy to blame God. When we go through something, especially when we put ourselves through it, oh, why is God doing this to me? Don't be that way either. And it's a sign of a mature Christian. When I first started, and it's even described in the Bible, you don't give a baby a Whataburger or a steak. You give them milk. And the same spiritually. You're a baby when you first give your life to the Lord, and everything's new and everything's great and you're hungry and you want to be in the Word and you want to share the Word. But when your world is rocked with whatever scenario, whatever circumstance, it can throw you off. And I'm not going to lie, I used to call Terry a lot. You know, I really would. And, oh, Terry. And I'm sure Terry was like, yeah, Tony, stop. Well, not yeah, because he's not Hispanic, but enough, Tony, you know. But in my walk, I don't, not that, you know, not because I don't want to call Terry. I don't do that as much. It's rare that I do. It's rare that I, because my walk, I'm not saying I'm super Christian because I'm not, believe me. I cry to my wife now, not Terry, but I don't do that as often. And the same with you guys. As you're in the years progress, you should see a growth in your walk as well. So when you go through those trials and certain tribulations, you know, you're not rocked right away. And the only way you're going to do that, the only way you're going to grow spiritually is by being in the Word. There's some of you out there that might be health nuts that are into lifting weights and running and keeping in shape. Well, how do you do that? By going to the gym, by eating right, by staying in condition, doing what you have to do. Well, what are you doing spiritually to be spiritually fit? Are you in your Bible? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you praying constantly like Paul tells us to do? Are you here at church? Or are you putting other things, your friends, your party life, your this or that, are you putting other things before God? Because if you are, if you're trying to do both, you can't. You can't serve two masters. So you're going to end up failing when you're going through those trials and circumstances if you're not giving your total 110% to Jesus Christ. And it's a tough walk. But the Bible also says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And once you accept Christ as your Savior, you're that vessel he's talking about. You're that clay pot. He's residing in you. So what you see, he sees. What you speak, he's listening. What you hear, he hears. He's right there with you. So remember that, especially when you're going through your hardships. You're not alone. You might feel like you are, but you're never alone. He'll never abandon you nor forsake you. Seek those opportunities to shine for the Lord. Let the Lord shine through you. Amen. Thank you all.
Let's turn the lights down. Let's fade it all out.
Let's have those that are going to be handing out the elements come forward.